Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:43, 17 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Wednesday morning, October 9th, joined by Bruce Jenelson, professor of public policy and public science and political science, rather, at Duke University. He's previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process, so he knows of what he speaks. How you doing, Bruce?
Doing okay, Tommy. Hope you are as well.
Yes, sir. Here we are 2 days after the one-year anniversary. Give me your summary, your state, if you will, executive summary, however you want to phrase it, of what's going on with Israel and Lebanon and Hamas and Gaza. Jump in where you feel comfortable.
Sure, yeah. I mean, October 7th, you're right, was a very solemn day for the Jewish community in Israel, the United States, elsewhere. More, you know, Jews were killed on that day last year than at any time since the Holocaust. And you know, here at Duke, there was a memorial service that was very well conducted for the student Jewish community. At the same time, in another part of campus, there was a protest by groups that, let's call them pro-Palestine, but both had their own space, which I think is appropriate. And at the same time, you're right, you know, it's no longer, quote-unquote, just Gaza. You know, it's Lebanon, it's possibly the war with Iran. And increasingly, we're seeing big differences between the United States and Israel, not over the core goal. We are committed to Israel's security, but how that is best achieved. And the Netanyahu government has not, frankly, been a very good ally. We've been supporting them, and they've been doing things without giving us notice, against our advice, and also against the advice of many of their own military strategists. It's not just us caring about ourselves, but there's big debate about what's best for Israel right now.
Where does this, because you've been involved in this, right? You work for the State Department. You know where the personalities come in. Bob Woodward's book comes out. I don't know what's true, what's not, but quoting some of the language that President Biden used, referring to Netanyahu, I'm sure Netanyahu had some choice words about President Biden. Where in the efforts of international diplomacy do personalities factor into this, Bruce?
They really do a lot, a huge amount. I mean, you can go back to Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev in the end of the Cold War, and those two men got along really well, more than some of their hawkish aides wanted them to, and it really had good results. Joe Biden and Benjamin Netanyahu have a very long history. When I was in the State Department, 2009-2011, there were some issues, you know, in which when Biden was vice president, when Netanyahu did some things to him on one of his visits to Israel that they were kind of in your face. I give Biden a lot of credit. He's basically said to Bibi, you know, I'm going to hug you, and I love you and your country, but you drive me crazy, right? And so Biden has really tried not to let personal emotions get in the way of the relationship. But increasingly, he really feels that Netanyahu has not been trustworthy. And when you're working with an ally, whether it's Ukraine or Israel or any other country that we have partnership with, you got to have trust, right? Even when you disagree, you got to have trust. And there have been a number of indications lately where Netanyahu has done things that, frankly, are seen as serving his own political interests of survival, not necessarily the interests of his own country, as well as kind of leaving the United States in a really tough place.
At the end of it all, though, despite all the political noise, Netanyahu knows that Israel needs the United States, and Biden knows that the United States has to support Israel, right?
He does, but, you know, supporting Israel, the big distinction, I think, has been between our support for Israel against attacks from its really external enemies like Iran. You know, in April when Iran attacked, it was American military capacity along with Israeli that prevented that from really penetrating, you know, in Israeli airspace. Now the question now with this latest attack by Iran, a very serious one. I mean, I have Israeli friends, and some of these missiles that got through landed within a couple, you know, miles of their house in Tel Aviv. But, you know, we are trying to contain this and stop it from becoming a full regional war. The Iranian foreign minister is now in Saudi Arabia talking to the Saudis, right? And they're big enemies. And so we want to kind of follow that path. of how do we contain this rather than escalate it. We believe that's in the region's interest, in Israel's interest, including the Arab countries that are pro-Israel. They don't want a further war. That hurts them as well. So I feel like we're trying to take care of Israel, but in ways that Netanyahu seems to have his own agenda.
Put this Middle East puzzle together for me, if you will, Bruce. Who wants what where?
Interesting. You know, a lot of people saying now the two people that most want the conflict to continue are the leader of Hamas, Yahya Sinwar, and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Sinwar, it's one of those ironies. The Israelis assassinated one of the other leaders of Hamas when he was in Iran a couple months ago. And while they felt they got a bad guy, this guy was actually more pro-negotiations than Sinwar, and now Sinwar has more control over Hamas, right? So you get the guy, and it actually makes your problems worse. Sinwar, you know, he has sacrificed, you know, tens of thousands of his own people in the name of what he sees as the cause, and Netanyahu has been resisting. There are still 101 hostages held in Gaza. And with the Jewish New Year here, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the families want the hostages back, and they're prepared for a ceasefire. They're not prepared to just tell Hamas, you know, do whatever you want to do. And so Netanyahu has been the one resisting this, who seems to think that his own interests are best served by the war continuing. And so he and Sinwar actually are, you know, kind of on the same page in their own way.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I follow this, and I need to refresh myself every now and then. So let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We'll distinguish Hamas from Hezbollah. And also, you mentioned Reagan and Gorbachev's relationship, and I know you study the Middle East, but you know diplomacy. And I'd like to compare and contrast that to what else came out in Bob Woodward's book about Donald Trump's relationship with purported relationship with Vladimir Putin and the differences or similarities. 8:50, 10 till 9, Bruce Jemison worked with the State Department. He knows what he's talking about, knows the players involved, and interesting to hear that personalities do enter into it right now. 8:50, 10 till 9, traffic, WWL. 8:55, 5 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Bruce Jemison, professor of public policy, political science at Duke University, previously worked in the State Department and on the Middle East peace process. Bruce, when it comes to Hamas, Hezbollah, the differences, and while you're at it, recap who else it is that has beef with Israel and from whom they have to defend themselves.
Yeah, so Hezbollah is in Lebanon. And, you know, in the Sunni-Shia splits in Islam, they're a Shia group. So they have a lot in common with Iran. And they really have been, of all the different groups, most closely connected to Iran in terms of money, weapon supplies, and the like. And they have been on the northern part of Israel. Kind of, there was a war in 2006. There's been, you know, constant. And since the last year, there was a lot of barrages. Israel's had to evacuate probably 50, 60,000 people from, you know, communities in its north. Hamas is actually Sunni, so it doesn't have that religious tie to Iran, and they're Palestinian. You know, one of the main groups, the other being the Palestinian Authority, that was the group that Israel and the United States have been negotiating with. And they're in Gaza. They have some supporters in the West Bank and elsewhere. But they hadn't really been that close. You know, when Hamas did its massacre on October 7th, Hezbollah responded the next day with attacks. But it wasn't like, in fact, the leader of Hezbollah, who recently got killed by the Israelis, said, short of a knife, so they told me this was coming, you know. So they weren't that close. You know, Israel, when it was created in 1948, every single Arab state in the region, including Egypt, Jordan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, you know, tried to make sure it didn't happen. It was one of the first acts of the United Nations. There were supposed to be an Israel and a Palestine. And they all declared war on Israel. So over the years, Israel made peace with Egypt. It made peace with Jordan. It has some other relations with other Arab countries, even a little bit with Saudi Arabia. But go back to 1948, and it was a war of all the Arab world against Israel.
If you go back to the Yom Kippur War, if Israel doesn't take the stance that it does and Egypt wins that war, then Egypt is, the whole situation is completely different, is it not?
Yeah, and a few years after that war, when, you know, that Egypt didn't succeed, Israel defended itself, but it incurred tremendous, you know, losses and costs. It was 5 years after that that the President Carter, bless his heart on his 100th birthday, negotiated with the leader of Egypt, Anwar Sadat, and the leader of Israel, Menachem Begin, who was an Israeli hawk, by the way, the Camp David Treaty. And that's held up for, what, 50, almost 50 years now, even with tensions? Not bad for a peace treaty.
Have you seen the movie Golda, Bruce?
I haven't seen. I read her biography, but I did not see the movie.
I just wonder if it was accurate or not, because it seems as though. And if you want a peek behind the scenes about the way diplomacy works, I would suggest maybe people watch that movie, because it seemed pretty real to me. I don't know. Before we let you go, let me talk about the comparison you made with Reagan and Gorbachev and their friendship, and how that helped with the Cold War. What about the friendship that we hear about now, or purported friendship, in Bob Woodward's book between former President Trump and Vladimir Putin? Comparisons there or not?
Very different. Let me simply say that any previous ex-president, when they've talked to a foreign leader that they had relations with, they cleared it with the existing president, and they never did it with a president, with a leader that the United States was at war with, like we are with Putin. Reagan and Gorbachev pursued a common goal of good relations between the countries and trying to make the world a more peaceful place. I don't think that's what Putin's doing, and I don't know what Trump would be talking to him about that might be serving the interests of peace and American interests.
But certainly outside the norm?
Well, outside the norm. Far, you know, blows it out of the water.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate your time as always. Bruce Jenelson, okay. Professor of Public Policy, Political Science, Duke, previously worked State Department, Middle East Peace Process. We come back. We're going to talk hurricanes. We're going to trace the path of Helene and see why it caused...
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.